and welcome to the 20 Minutes of Filler podcast. I am your host, Jason Katarski.
And you're here with Eric Carlson.
That's right. We are on the road, headed back from Protospiel, Michigan. We'll talk a little bit about that in a minute. But right off the bat, we want to say, hey, thanks again for tuning in. If you haven't yet, please check out Rocky Road, A La Mode on Kickstarter. There's just a couple days left. It's been a great campaign. Lots of people have connected with our little game. It's the sixth title from Green Couch Games by Joshua J. Mills, all about delivering ice cream and making your customers happy with time track elements, a little bit of engine building and set collecting. Good fun in 20 to 30 minutes. Please check it out. We've unlocked lots of stretch goals, and Nat LeVan's add-on game is really connecting with people too. Be sure to check out Rocky Road Dice Cream. All right, now that we got that shameless self-promotion.
And it's a board game.
Yeah, that's right. We unlocked a board, so it's Green Couch's first board game. So cool. We're like big boys now, right?
That's right.
So, yeah, shameless self-promotion is done. Let's chat. Eric, you went to Protospiel, which for those of you who don't know what Protospiel is, it is a movement that was started actually right here in Michigan several years ago. I would say it's been more than 10 years ago now, by a few designers. We had Mike Petty back on an episode not too long back, where he talked about being one of the founders of that, along with Stephen Glenn and Dominic from North Star Games. And it is all about designers bringing games that need some hardcore testing. They need other game designers to take a look, to play your games, give you feedback, try to break your game. Publishers come looking for games. Publishers come to help develop games. And it's a really cool atmosphere. It's a little smaller scale than Unpub, but it's a little more like in-depth work that happens there. It's not so much games that are closer to publication as much as ones that are needing that work to be done. So this was Eric's first Protospiel, and it's the first time you were there, not just as a playtester, you were there as a designer with your first game design. Tell me a little bit about what your experience was like.
It was a lot of fun, being a first-time designer, and just going to Protospiel in general. It was just a great experience, getting kind of nervous, nerve-wracking, trying to explain the sweet little thing that you've created, bringing it into the world, showing it to people. It is a little intimidating, but it was a lot of fun at the same time, and it's something that we did together, so you kind of helped me through that process, and that was awesome.
Yeah, dude, it was cool. Like, the first time you were explaining it, you seemed a little nervous, and then I couldn't help myself when I chimed in halfway through and took over for you by accident. I apologize for my big mouth.
Happy to have that happen.
And then the second time, we were with a publisher friend of mine, and you were way more comfortable, and it wasn't even a big deal that you were presenting it to a publisher for feedback. So, yeah, good job on that. So, what was it like to have somebody play your game and then give you feedback? Like, what were you nervous? Was it exciting? Like, what were your feelings?
Yeah, I was definitely nervous, but it was good. It was gratifying to have someone play it. Everyone said at least moderately nice things. No one trashed our game. That was good.
Awesome. Yeah, it was cool. Like, we got the feedback. I think we've been feeling that this game that we've been working on still has some ways to go, but there's things that we like to play about it. So now getting it out there with new, fresh people, like, you know, they say things like, oh, this was cool. I like this aspect. I like this aspect. And then we hear some stuff like, hey, it needs a little bit of more. And that's the thing we've been feeling too, is it needs something, but we just haven't honed in on what it is. It's a simple pub style card game. Well, why don't you give a little quick description of what it is all about?
Yeah, so the game, it has an archery theme to it, and you are shooting downrange. And so you are revealing cards to the general public, but every time you flip a card over, you have to beat the previous card in order to keep going. Otherwise, you bust and terrible things happen for you and good things for the other players. It was interesting showing the game to people that aren't your friends and family, that have zero investment in your emotional health. And, because I feel like I've shown my friends and family, we've played it, and they tolerate me. But you're never quite sure how the read is, right? Because they will always say nice things to your face.
Absolutely. It's so essential to play with people you don't know, and other people who make games, because they look at it from a different perspective. And they look at it... And you can just be honest, because they're going to... They want your game to be better. They don't want to make you feel good, right?
Right.
So, yeah, so we got some good feedback, got some honest feedback, but we weren't super discouraged, like we needed to shelve it. I think we're pretty convinced that we just need to keep working on it. So maybe you'll see Eric Carlson and Jason Katarski's name on a box someday on a store shelf. Maybe it'll just end up on a shelf in our closet, and we'll just play it for fun and keep working on it for years to come. But Protospiel was fun. Did you have any other highlights? What were we played a couple games, a couple that we can't really talk about because they're related to stuff that I'm doing that's kind of a secret right now. But, ooh, I know, right? I feel like a jerk even for saying that, but otherwise, like, I'm not going to build it up so much that we're going to talk about Protospiel forever because I can't talk a whole lot about it, but we did play a couple other designers' games. Want to talk about something that connected with you, Eric?
Yeah, we played a game with some ladies from Toronto. They drove all the way down.
For one day to Chelsea, Michigan, yeah.
Crazy. But, yeah, they had this fun little filler game. Which its name was...
It was called Most Likely to Succeed.
And it's a game where you're trying to climb the social ladder. It feels very much like that kind of high school experience where you're trying to do whatever you can. It's very cutthroat to get to the top of the social ladder. And there's all this... The art was great. Actually really well developed for a prototype game. And just had some interesting choices. You're either moving yourself up the ladder or bumping people down. So I had some fun mechanics to it. It was quick and light and very, very accessible.
Yeah, and it started with a drafting element, so there's a little strategy. And the cool twist of the drafting was like, okay, so you pick your seven cards one at a time, drafting around the table, but then you get to pick one of those cards that you drafted to give to each of the other players. So you want to get some stinker cards to pass off to the other players to hopefully kind of hamper them from climbing too far up the ladder. Simple choices. The board was a little ladder that you're trying to climb up, and lots of cute flavor text that brought us into the game. Like, we were like telling the story a little bit about like how being the kid who is emotional and cries at the movies doesn't get you, it gets you bumped down the ladder a little bit. And I'm like, that's my life. Like, that's me. I'm that guy. So that's why it wasn't cool. But cute game, yeah. And they're a sister team. The one sister was the designer and the other sister was the artist. So, yeah, neat game. So be watching for that one. They're not sure if they're going to look for a publisher or if they're going to kickstart it themselves. But Most Likely to Succeed. Cool little game. The other one we played was by John Dubois. And he's another Michigan guy, and he brought a game that was near and dear to my heart. I played an earlier prototype, and it's called Striking Flint, but it is a co-op game about the sit-down strike in the automotive industry where the conditions were so bad that they shut down the lines, and it started the union movement, and that happened in my hometown, and actually John's hometown, too. He moved away from Flint, down towards Detroit now, but that's where he grew up in Flint, so it was near and dear to his heart. And we played it before, and it was decent, but then he came back and he reworked the game completely, and since last time I played it, and it was a really chunky co-op game that felt along the lines of something like The Grizzled. Really, really heavy, stressful game.
Yeah.
It was neat. What did you think about that one, Eric?
Yeah, it's got kind of that pandemic co-op. You're racing against the game, but there's a lot of tension because the game is designed to punish you more so than like a pandemic even. Like it just continues to bring the force, and you have to work as a team to succeed against the man.
Yeah, yeah, and what you're trying to do is you're trying to occupy different workstations on the assembly line so the cars do not get to the end of this, so you don't produce any cars. So you have to, like, manage these stations, occupy them, you have to reduce your stress, you have to manage your stress, which can also end the game. If you get too stressed, you give up and you go home. If a car makes it off the line, you lose because the General Motors wins, right? So your strike was unsuccessful. But and we lost our first game, which is a good thing. And the first time you play a game, you want it to be a challenge so you can come back at it and go for it again. But it felt like a hard game. And we had four game designers playing it, you know. So, yeah, John's got something special there. And, you know, it's getting closer and closer. So he also designed a game for Button Shy called Avignon, which is a really cool two-player abstract card game that you should check out from Jason Tegmeyer's company, Buttonshot. A really neat push and pull abstract game about the battle of the popes, essentially. So, yeah, cool games. And we played some of my stuff and I got some good feedback and got a game way closer to being done. I got some new ideas for another design that needed that one more thing. It was a good day. It was a good day. So, would you do another proto spiel event in the future, Eric?
Yes, as long as my wife will let me back out of the house to go, I would love to do another proto spiel.
Nice. I love it. I love it. Yeah. She's been very gracious to let you tag along with me to keep me company on these things. And, it's good to have somebody ride with me. So, that's Proto Spiel, Michigan 2016. And I'm sure you're going to hear more games that you won't even know. Some of the games that you've played have already come out of the ringer of a Proto Spiel and have become better for it. So, so it's cool to know, like, give you a, hey, there's like 6 hot air balloons above the highway in front of us right now.
Maybe we should make a hot air balloon game.
Actually, one of the founders of Proto Spiel, Stephen Glenn, made a game called Balloon Cup about hot air balloons. And it's one of my favorite two-player games of all time.
Wow.
And it's now called Pinata. So it's a great two-player filler. Go out and check it. That's my recommendation. So hey, something else is going on, Eric, that we both have experienced. And I want to just chat real quick about that. The Spiel des Jahres nominees, we have now played all 3 of them. We have played Codenames, we have played Imhotep, and we have played Karuba. So we've talked about Codenames. Everybody's talked about Codenames a million times. Great party game. Karuba is this cool tile-laying game with bingo. It's Carcassonne meets bingo with a little pressure luck in there, right? So somebody draws a tile that's numbered. Everybody has to find that numbered tile in their pile and place it somewhere on their grid board where they're trying to connect their adventurers with a hidden temple where they can pick up some treasure on the way. When that tile gets called, you get to place it on your board, or you can discard it for each of the exits that are on that tile, 1 or 2 to 4 exits, and that's how many spaces you can move your workers along the path towards the temple of this path that you've built. And if you stop on gems, you get to pick them up along the way. Cool game, 20 minutes. You played Karuba, right?
Yeah.
What do you think about Karuba?
I loved it. It was fun. I really liked that bingo element, even though I didn't get to be the caller of the tiles. I want to play again so that I can call out the tiles at random and help people put their puzzle together. But it's, yeah, everyone's board looks different, but you're using the same elements. And,
yeah, it is cool to see how, like, you all are solving the same problem, but you do it in different ways. And, It's really neat. It's a little bit solitaire feeling, but who would you recommend this game is for? Who would you play this game with?
I mean, I think it's a good entry level board game, but it's got some meatier decisions for those people who are looking for decisions. But it's not daunting. You know, you put a tile on a board. You just got to make the choice.
Yep.
And you know, it was kind of neat because in the beginning, the board can look like your friend's board, but then as you choose to make decisions, your boards diverge and you can kind of mess with each other and talk some smack about what's going to happen. So,
yeah, it's really satisfying at the end of the game, kind of the same way that like I like about Best Treehouse Ever and like Kodama by Daniel Solis, is at the end of the game, you've built something and you get to sit back and like oh, that's cool. That's cool that we built something, you know. So it's a neat game. It's by, I think it's by Rutger Dorn, is it? Does that sound right?
Sure.
Yeah. So, you know, fact check that one. But I think it might be. And he's a solid designer. He's done a lot of great games. And then Imhotep, which is by the designer of Sushi Go, Philip Walker Harding. He also did a game called Archaeology, which is a set collection card game from Z-Man Games. And this one is neat. It's about building pyramids. And you're shipping boats. Like, you're loading boats with stuff, and then you're shipping it to these different locations. So there's variable ways of scoring. It's a little bit of a nasty game. You choose to either put one of your stones on any of these available ships that have different size, different amounts of spots on them. So you're going to share these ships with different people. Or you're going to choose to sail one of those ships to one of the locations on the board that hasn't been taken. So there's one that's like draw a special point card. There's one that is build a pyramid, and depending on your position in the pyramid, you get points. There's one that is about the burial chamber, which is about, like, connecting your blocks, contributing your blocks to, like, a pattern. If they're connected, you get more points. So there's these different scoring options that you can do, and you take the boat, and then they're unloaded in the order that they were loaded. So the person whose block is in the front gets to place where to put their thing first and all that. So, and the boards are double-sided, so there's different, there's options for replayability. This one is the most, like, Euro-y, right? There's, I think it's the chunkiest of the three.
Oh, definitely. And yeah. This one you definitely get in the way of your fellow players more than you would in Karuba. You can, if things are going badly for you or someone kind of cuts you out of getting your cube onto a boat, you can sail that boat so they can't get their cubes where they want to go.
Right. It can be a nasty game if you want to play that way. You can sail boats that you aren't even on just to, like, take them to the least optimal point before they're filled up. But then, if that's your choice, the next turn, you know, you got to be ready for a little revenge from somebody sailing your boat to a less than optimal place. Yeah, and it's by Cosmos. The artwork is great, but it's that dry kind of Euro, you know, flavor. You know, like, it doesn't really pop as, like, this stands out on the shelf. It looks good. It's functional. It's a good game. It's a chunky game, but it's still pretty easy to get into. The chunkiness comes from, like, your decisions, not from, like, learning the system of, like, how to play the game. So, I recommend it for people who like games like Catan or Ticket to Ride or Lords of Waterdeep, that kind of a level of a family Euro game with a little bit more meat than, like, you know, super, super simple. Karuba leans more towards, like, the Carcassonne crowd, the Augustus crowd. Like, really simple, but still satisfying. And Codenames, I mean, that's my pick for Spiel des Jahres, because it is the universal game out of the three. Like, I think it's just for everybody. And it feels really innovative and clever, and I think it's going to take home the prize. What about you, Eric? Which one do you call for winner of this year's Spiel des Jahres?
It almost feels like Codenames has already won, right? Like, they're in Target. You can get Codenames everywhere for really cheap. Like, they've already won, even if they don't win. But I think they're going to take home the prize.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just such a great game. It's so accessible, so fun, and just good for all age ranges, even. I play with my wife's family, and we have, like, 20 grandchildren in the family, and we play with kids as young as, like, 8 or 9 are getting in on the action.
Awesome. Awesome. Yeah, that's a cool thing to hear. So the Spiel des Jahres, really what it is it's for expanding board gaming. It's the German Game of the Year. And it's really, over the last several years, it's been more aimed at family-style games that have a wider appeal. When it first started, it was similar. Then it got into the more serious Euro games, were nominated and won the award. But then it's kind of shifted back. They have three levels now. They have the Kinderspiel, which is Kids Game of the Year, the Spiel des Jahres, which is Game of the Year, and then the Ketterspiel, which is, like, Advanced Game of the Year. And they now, what is the advanced choices, used to be, like, the level of game that would get nominated for Spiel des Jahres. But it's really designed to, like, what game is going to best represent board games and get new people in to what we are doing. So these games are that kind of simpler to get into, but still very meaningful and rewarding to play without being overwhelming. So that's a little bit about that. And I think that
Hello, this is Future Jason here, and I just wanted to chime back in to say Codenames has in fact won the Spiel des Jahres as of the day this is posted. So, I hate to be the one that says, told you so.
They all are worthy choices. They're really good games, and I think they're going to be the kind of game that if you want to introduce people to hobby games at all, like, those are good choices. Like, here's a party game that is a step up then above something like, I don't know, Catchphrase. Catchphrase is a great game, and it's really simple and universal, but this is, like, a thinkier, more puzzly kind of a party game with Codenames. And I'm really excited at Gen Con that Codenames Pictures is coming out. Have you heard about Codenames Pictures?
No, what?
Yeah, so instead of words, they're just illustrations. So the cards on the table You have to come up with the words and the clues, and people have to point at pictures instead of words.
Oh.
So I feel like it's going to be on a whole new level, because you can interpret those pictures so many different ways.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, that's on my list.
It's kind of like Dixit meets Mary's Codenames, is that...
I think so.
Oh, man.
Pretty exciting, huh?
You got to get that one for me. You got to get in line quick and snatch it up.
Yeah, right. While I'm working at my booth.
No, you got to leave the booth. It'll be fine.
Yeah, totally. So Eric is going to be at Gen Con. I'm going to be at Gen Con. We're going to be working in the 200s, the end of the 200 row, facing the back of the hall with Green Couch Games booth. And my friend, Helena Kappel, and her company, Kids Table Board Game, who made the game Food Fighters. It was a Kickstarter game, and they're going to be demoing their new game by Scott Olms, Problem Picnic.
Oh.
Yeah, dexterity dice game that Scott designed. So we are sharing a booth space. It's going to be really fun. If you're at Gen Con, please come and see us. Play our new games. Walk on Fire we'll be releasing there for Green Couch Games. We'll have our other titles for sale. I even managed to save a few copies of Best Realis Ever for you. And we are really looking forward to connecting with you and showing off new games, testing some other games that are in Green Couch's future in the evenings and maybe even at the booth.
Nice.
Yeah, good stuff. So come say hi to us and to Helena and Kids Table Board Games. They're making really cool games. Their thing is about, their whole thing is making kids games for adults. So like kids games that adults don't want to pull their hair out over. So, and her husband is Josh Kappel, who's one of the best artists in the board game space. Does stuff like Scoville and Kings of Aaron Steam, and he designed Wasabi. So he's a really talented illustrator, and hopefully he'll pop by the booth too and say hello. So thank you guys so much, Eric. Thanks again for joining me here and on the road to and from Proto Spiel.
I feel like we need to talk about everyone's new favorite filler game before we go.
Oh, yeah?
Pokemon Go.
Oh, dude. What do you want to say about it, man? What do you want
to
say?
I mean, it is amazing. I was a touch late to the party. I started yesterday, but I'm almost level 6 now. And I have a 4-year-old and a 2-year-old. And my wife and I just decided that was our Friday night family activity. We both downloaded the app, and we went on a monster-catching adventure. My boys were digging it, and we saw like 30 strangers at the library after it had closed, just hanging out. And it was just this amazing social experience. It's like what board games are, only in real life with phones.
Yeah, that it is cool. I had a similar experience where we chose that to be like our activity for the evening. My wife and I were on a date, and we were going to go see a movie, and she's like, we can go see a movie, or I can just download your game you've been playing, and we can walk around downtown and do that. And I was like, really? I never thought she'd be into it. And she was like, and the minute she got it, she was in. And then the next day, we went around the neighborhood with our kids and hung out and showed them stuff, and they had a blast with it, too. Went to the park with some friends, and the kid had this great imagination. My kid's friend, he was 5, and he was like, I see a Pokemon. I'm like, where? He's like, in my head. Like, his imagination was way better than ours. And he was, like, running into invisible things and falling over on the trail. Like, it was so cool. But let's be honest. I don't think we can call Pokemon Go a filler game, because I think we're seeing that it's more of a lifestyle.
You can play for 15 minutes at, like, 1 a.m. when you should be sleeping, or you can go to bed, right? Like, it's a filler. You can just hop in there, hop out.
I guess. but, yeah, that's fun. I'm Team Yellow, and I don't know what that means, except for I'm not contributing very much to my team.
I'm Team Blue. I just pulled the trigger on that, so we'll see what happens.
Awesome. We actually maybe left Roto-Spiel a little bit early to go Pokemon in downtown Chelsea, Michigan. So it was pretty awesome. But that's it for this time. Where can people find you and interact with you on the interweb, Eric?
I'm on Twitter at DonutCow11, and I'll be at Gen Con, so come say hi.
Awesome. And I'm Jason Katarski at Jason Katarski on Twitter, or at Green Couch Games. And I'll be at Gen Con. Come and say hi. I'm getting ready for a move across the state. I am moving from Flint, Michigan to Grand Rapids, Michigan, the home of Grand Con. So it may be a little while. I've got to get settled before I can come back and do another show. But there's a great gaming scene over there, and I'm really excited to be a part of that. And get to just be on the west side of the state. So I'll miss Eric. Eric won't be on as often. because we won't be together in real life as often, but we'll have him back whenever he's around. So if you're in Grand Rapids, Michigan, get ready for the Green Couch Games takeover. I don't know what that means. Or Team Yellow to take over, right?
Team Yellow. Yeah. No, Blue. Team Blue.
All right, guys. Until next time, get out there and play some great little games.